Hello, everyone, and welcome back to episode 19 of the Three Quarter Time podcast. I'm Janus. I'm joined with T-Gub and with Cookie. Now, in the round that's just happened, the AFL, it's been a bit of the underdog round, except the top nine versus the bottom nine, except the bottom nine are being putting up a real big competitive fight, but ultimately wasn't enough to overcome the top nine. North versus the Dogs. It was a competitive first half, but the Bulldogs ultimately belittled North in their centenary celebration and preserved their flat track bully status. Carlton and Collingwood. If Collingwood have the chance to kick the crap out of Carlton while they're down, they're going to take it, and they did. The Dons Gold Coast was a good game, very competitive game, but the Suns ultimately banished their Marvel demons. And St Kilda Hawthorn was a scrappy affair. Sydney Freo. Sydney, I think, are the only team in the bottom nine to win. They beat Freo in a bad loss that leaves Freo's fate to be written by others. And then the Crows and Melbourne fought it out in a pretty good competitive affair. But again, the Crows just ultimately outmuscled the Ds. And then we'll go into the world of internationals, a bit happening with cricket on both sides. So, boys, how are we going?
Wonderful.
It's good to be here.
Yeah,
bit of a different setup this week.
New office.
This is the first podcast out of the 19 episodes we've done where we have done it in the daytime and one of us hasn't been at our studios. So anyway, I'm out at work.
Yes.
I'm at a park in my car.
That's just phenomenal.
It's commitment. That's putting your head over the ball. That's what we'd love to see.
It really, really is.
The joke is the iPhone camera is doing better than the dodgy webcam that I've got. So
that is true. I've never seen you more crisp.
It's very interesting.
Looks good. Looks very good.
Oh, we'll be trying to upgrade that soon. But anyway, T-Dub, how are you, great man?
Going well.
Had a big lunch yesterday.
We did have a big lunch. Butter chicken, rice, lamb. Just a Christmas in July function with the family. It was beautiful. It was very good. A lot of food. Yep. A lot of roti was consumed. Oh, good bread. Good bread.
Roti, is that the pronunciation?
Yes.
We'll run with it for this podcast.
For the sake of my professional career, I'll go with that.
Okay.
On my Friday night, I had an interesting one. I took someone who's traveled from the Philippines for work and he'd never, ever been to a sporting event in his life. And I said, great man, you are coming with me to the MCG on Friday night. We're going to see Carlton Collingwood. He had no idea what that meant, but, we sat, row one, we got there nice and early and I took him for a tour of the MCG. And I'll tell you what, by the end of the night, he absolutely loved it. So. That was so wholesome. Like, it's funny. You don't realize how cool footy is until you're like explaining it to someone. Oh, like you can do this, you can do this. A bloke can take a hanger, then deck a bloke. And then, you know what's the weirdest thing? The boundary umpires. Like, in what sport do you see an umpire do that? It's so unusual.
Or goal umpires.
Like, it's a sport in itself.
It's just so unusual when you think about it. Anyway.
It is. It's one of the few sports have last touch. Yeah. I don't have last touch.
And it's like, I know. Anyway, it was interesting. I liked it.
How did he find it?
He loved it. Like he didn't know what was going on, but he loved like people shouting and he liked the Collingwood chants and just like whenever a bloke was taking a set shot, we had like a great angle. He'd just like film every time. It was great.
It's awesome.
Good fun.
Right.
We love the meat pie as well, which is beautiful.
I said,
I'm forcing this down you.
Cultural integration. Yes.
That's good.
Exactly.
That's very nice.
Really getting involved.
T-Dub, anything changed from a Carlton perspective for you after that game? It was to be expected. You're versing the top team.
You wouldn't have seen this because you're at the game, but in the first quarter, Voss wasn't sitting at the desk. He was sitting in the aisle of the coach's box. So that's never a good sign.
Okay.
It was just to be expected. But yeah, they just...
I mean, Hawthorn lost by 10 goals as well to Collingwood at MCG.
But it's just... Yeah, they're just... They have no confidence. Almost nothing else matters now. Like, you can talk about skill, you can talk about personnel, you can talk about sacking the coach, which I don't agree with, but ultimately it's just confidence is everything. Like, belief is not there. Yep. Confidence is not there. And I was watching the VFL because that was on Channel 7 and I was watching that on Saturday night and just seeing the VFL team, they play so differently to the ones. They play a quick kick game, possession game, high handball receives. They play confidently. Like, it's just funny how confidence in sport is everything. It's just everything. And they've just, unfortunately, the Blues just have absolutely none of that at the moment. And look, they may find it with like a month to go when the pressure's fully off and they're playing the kids. But look, their job is to just find that over the next 6 months and then bring it from round one all the way through to a premiership at the end of next year. But until they find that confidence again, they've got no chance of winning a game. So there's no point like me. I'm not like that idiot snapper on 3AW who's like, play for the jumper, play for the emblem. Like, mate, they're human. They have feelings. They just are not right at the moment. And until they get right, they're not going to win. So accept that.
Yeah, well said. Well said.
I tell you who were well said. Confident. North Melbourne. That was a very... Well, I know the Dogs ended up winning by 8 goals. But that was a very good game of footy for the first 2.5 quarters. That was a very, very good game. I mean, the Dogs jumping out of the blocks, then Larky kicking 4 first quarter goals. It was just beautiful.
Could have kicked 5.
Should have kicked 5, yes.
Missed that one on the siren.
Janus, what were your thoughts on that? And also, as you said at the top of the show, the Dogs' flat track bully mentality is just, it's just perfect. So take us through what your thoughts were for that beautiful game on Thursday night.
Well, obviously, they were looking to answer back after the demolition job they got in Tasmania. And it was good to see Dennis Pagan come in, give him a good rev up. It's a good speech. And you can see that she sort of had an impact on them right from the get-go. I thought that North's midfield did really well, particularly in the first half. Obviously, Larky kicked 4, and they were able to quell Sam Darcy quite efficiently. Obviously, he kicked 4 at the end. It reminded me of Gimby on Jeremy Cameron. When Geelong played West Coast, obviously, Gimby did very well the whole game, but Jez kicked 4. So it was a similar thing. But the Dogs, they were just better than North Melbourne. Like, you negate Sam Darcy, Aaron Norton took his chance. Well. And he played very well. Crash packs, brought marks down, kicked goals. So obviously taking his chance. I think he does very well. He does very well as a second stringer, going under the radar a little bit. He really finds his groove. But it was good to see Libba. Obviously, it was his 250th game. He was the one that really turned the tide for the Dogs. And in the third quarter, you can see that his third quarter goal really took the wind out of North Melbourne's sails. And obviously, they just cruised away from there. But like, as I said at the top of the show, the Dogs haven't actually beaten anyone except for the Giants. But the Giants are a bit different in that no one really knows what they're up to. But the Dogs haven't actually beaten anyone in the top 8. Obviously, they lost to Collingwood close, lost by 6 points. And that, I mean, I don't really blame the umpires that much. But there were a few really dodgy decisions in that game. They kicked themselves out of it against Geelong. They
They got the Crows this week. That's a big test.
Yeah, and obviously they lost to Freo. They lost to Gold Coast after mounting a comeback, but just fell short. They beat the crap out of teams below them. So obviously the Crows are a big test, and they need to be honest, if they're going to be taken properly seriously as like a contender, they need to get a win. And it's at Marvel, so that's very gettable.
These are the games that separate the top four from the like bottom four of the eight. So if you, it's like almost like a play-in game. So if the Dogs lose, like they've lost to Adelaide, another team higher than them, surely that like damages their top four chances.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah,
definitely.
Which look,
it's interesting,
but you also got to think about it like. Momentum wise and confidence wise, to know that you can actually do it against the team, you know, in the top eight, you know.
Yeah.
Like it's all well and good beating the crap out of North and Richmond and like beating St Kilda by a combined 200 points or whatever. But to be actually go toe to toe and actually get 4 points against a top side, like that's how confidence is built going into September.
Well, it was like when Port Adelaide lost to West Coast in the elimination final, the Luke Shuey kick after the siren. Port finished fifth, but I think they only beat like two teams in the top eight for the entire year.
Yeah.
And then they lose to West Coast from fifth v eighth. So just shows that if you don't beat top eight teams, you can't win finals.
Like Hawthorn in 2018.
Yes, like that.
I mean, I finished fourth, but we're not the fourth best team in it.
Absolutely not. Gold Coast.
They've come close, just haven't gotten over the line.
Yeah.
Gold Coast, they were good. They were good. It was a mature performance. Essendon were spirited. They brought it to him, but Gold Coast just had all the answers. Cookie, did you watch much of the game?
I did. I did watch much of the game. I watched the important... Well, I watched the last, like, quarter and a half, where it was really... Gold Coast were putting it down, but I thought, what was his name? Archer May, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He kicked some Demi big stepson. Goals to like bring him back into it. Yeah, Demi stepson, I know. I saw a clip and I was like, why is Demi clapping an Essendon bloke kicking a goal? I was like, what is going on? And then I realized they're related. I was so confused when I saw that on Twitter.
Yeah, and to be fair, he kicked three in like 3 minutes, so he really brought the spark back.
That's good signs for the Dons, though. Like, but they need players like that.
Good signs, but they conceded late in basically all quarters. Like, first quarter, like, there was a bit of an arm wrestle to start with the first goal. Hobbs gets the first goal. It was like after 10 minutes, but then Humphrey immediately goes back literally the next clearance and gets the next goal. I think Reed kicks a goal, you know, at the end of quarter time. King gets two goals at the end of halftime and three quarter time. Like, they conceded late and obviously it took a lot of the spark out, but Gold Coast, to be honest, pretty mature performance. It was a big contest. They turned it into a street fight, Essendon, but they just had gears to answer and were able to sort of always reply. It was a good game to watch.
Yeah, the Bombers fascinate me. They really do. Because they clearly have confidence right now. Like, they just have a high level of confidence. But when these players come back from injury, how good are they? It's hard to gauge. It's hard to properly gauge them as to how good they actually are, whether they're just a team with confidence who actually doesn't have any pressure on them because they're not going to play finals, or are they genuinely like this good, or are they just, as I said, just a bunch of young players playing really confident footy at the moment? But who knows?
I agree. Only time will tell. I haven't known how good the Bombers are. Like, we haven't actually known how good the Bombers are for like the last like 3 years. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? It's just like, it's always so up in the air. You just never know.
Yeah.
But I think the Suns, if they win this Friday night against the Pies.
Yeah.
Yeah. At home too.
Like, that is a long way to making finals. Like, that's, and they got a game in hand as well against the Bombers, which will now, the Bombers will have nothing to play for now that we know, like, we already know this now.
Yeah.
Like, it's a big game for the Suns. Hopefully they can get it done.
Especially if they want a home final. We'll see.
Yeah, which they need. They need a home final.
Oh, they need a home final.
Yeah. Home final. So this is like a big test. So hopefully it should be a good Friday night. We will see. What else did we have on Saturday? We had the Hawks play in a weird one. They just found a way, I guess.
Defensive clinic.
And we had clinic. We had the pair actually give it to the Lions, kinda. Which I wasn't expecting, to be honest. Unfortunately, Sam Palpepa did his ACL on the other leg, which is tragic for the young man. That's not good. We love Sam Palpepa when he's playing well. He's so good to watch.
It's good to see Hinkley's comments after the game too. Like, you think about it, Palpepa has been quite synonymous with Ken Hinkley as a coach.
Obviously, I saw this as well.
It's Hinkley's last year, so it could be weird to see sort of Palpepa go under a new coach.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, other than a 10-minute, like, six-goal burst from Brisbane in the first quarter, the game was basically even.
Mm.
So.
Yeah, that was I was checking the score, and it was like Port Adelaide were winning or something.
Yeah.
No, they're up back, fairly like, comfortably.
Later, yeah. And Brisbane up by, like, 30 points. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah, they just went bang, 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 bang. It was ridiculous.
Charlie Cameron, I think, kicked three. So,
mate, the Lions can definitely go back to back.
Yeah,
100%.
The challenge for them is going to be, though, the odds are they are probably going to have to beat two of Hawthorn, Collingwood, Geelong. The odds are they're probably going to have to beat two of them. So,
if they get two home finals.
Yeah, they have to. I reckon for them to win the premiership, they have to win the qualifying final. They need a freebie, for the lack of a better word, at home.
I don't think I can go the long way round again.
No, I mean, teams hardly ever go the long way round, let alone doing it for a back-to-back.
Yeah, of course.
You need a lot of motivation to do that. I don't know if they have it if they're doing a back-to-back.
Yeah, I reckon, yeah. Their best chance is two at the Gabba, one at the G. Especially if they drew like the Crows on grand final day.
Yeah, true.
Speaking of grand final day, the Bloods. They're about the only competent team in the bottom nine at the moment. The rest are sort of just there. If any team's capable of going on a run, it's Sydney. But the question is, will they?
It is the Bloods.
I mean, losing Papley is not ideal. Like you saw when he and Errol came back against Port, like we were saying it when it happened, like they just had that glint in their eye. It sort of looked like they got a bit of sharpness about them. Obviously, he brings quite an important energy. Like, can they afford to lose him again just because of a spark they bring? I don't know.
Yes. Oh, Errol. I love Errol Goulden.
I love seeing Coxie excited on the bench.
He's passionate.
Passionate. Yeah, it's great to see.
He's very passionate.
Do you think that having that big unit behind you would put you off? Would it intimidate you?
Probably.
Coxie. He's a softy, I reckon.
No, but if you like look at Craig McRae, like he's always on the player's side, he's always with them. But like Cox is literally sitting at the back like a schoolboy. Like, I don't know, I feel like it'd be quite intimidating if I had him
Like? I think I like it when they're harder, or like when they're, I don't know, when they're pushing. All coaches do. They do it in different ways.
Yeah, I mean, each group's different. Really. You got to know how to motivate your 23 on the day and then you're 45 or whatever your list is.
But even players are different too, you know, so even knowing how to motivate individual players.
That's what I mean. You got to know how to motivate your group.
you got to know your cattle. So, yeah. Some people, like Cookie, probably respond harder to more direct feedback, whereas I probably prefer more constructive feedback. I don't know.
I know what you mean. And then we had the Crows round out the round at the Adelaide Oval. Too good for the D's. The D's?
Stumped them.
I know they did. They were about like four goals, weren't they?
They kicked 1-6 in the first quarter. So it was 1-6 to 2-3 or something in the first quarter. So obviously they missed early chances. But then they went whack times five. They kicked 5 unanswered goals. And at one point in the second quarter, they're up by 28 points. But the Crows mount a 41-point turnaround, I think. They kicked the last 3 goals of the second quarter. And then in the third, Keys literally kicks the opening goal within 20 seconds. And basically, they don't look back from there. Rankin probably played his best game for the year, as did Darcy Fogarty. Sort of come back into a little bit of form. He had a bit of a rough patch, but he looked good. Rochelle comes out injured, though. To be honest, I reckon is that's a bad loss for the Crows.
He
sort of turned his game into a far more selfless operator. I remember he was quite in the headlines last year, but he's sort of become a bit of a selfless forward, working well with Ben Keyes. I'm not sure if Lachie Murphy is the guy to replace him well. But he did some good things. Lachie Murphy competed well, was involved in 2 big contests on Lever. But Rochelle being out, I think, is huge.
When was the last time the Crows were in the finals?
2017, the grand final.
Yeah, I thought so. I couldn't think of the last time I saw the Crows in the grand in a final.
They went from making the finals basically every year to making it in 8 years.
It'll be good to see the Crows back. Yeah.
Yes. Got to love the Crows. As a Victorian, although we don't like Adelaide, you got to love the Crows. Just as an interstate team.
We're honorary South Australians because we went together around. So
I will not be classifying myself as an honorary South Australian. Big V all the way. Now you've got to love the interstate teams as a Victorian.
Yep.
I do like watching the Crows, and I love watching Benjamin Keyes. I love watching him. He's a smooth operator.
That he is. That he is. Should we get into the unsungs?
We should.
Janus, kick us off.
I am going to go with a guy from the Suns game.
Bang.
I'm going to go with Joel Jeffrey.
That's who I was going to go. Here we go.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
That's who I had written down on my paper originally as well.
Joel Jeffrey. He was absolute quality intercepting. He was running. He was rebounding off half back. A lot of pace bursting through. He kicked a terrific goal on the run coming out of half back through those handball receives. I thought he was just brilliant.
That is phenomenal. I will go the man we were just talking about from Adelaide, Benjamin Keyes. 2 goals, 3, 24 touches. Got to love the Keyser. He's got more product in his hair than Bailey Fritch.
Beautiful man. He's a beautiful man.
He's a gun. He's like, if you're gonna model a medium small forward, you're gonna make it around him. You're gonna model him.
Oh yeah,
because he's everything. Yeah, yeah. He's everything you want in like a small medium size forward.
100%.
He's just a gun. Cookie's gonna round us off.
I'm gonna round us off. I'm gonna go with someone from the Cats game.
Ooh.
I wouldn't usually choose a Cat, but I might do it this week just because it was cool to see a debutant have a great game.
Georgie.
Go Georgie Stevens.
The Barnhouse, big man.
He's a big boy.
Is that his nickname?
No, it's by Colin. Big Barn.
Oh, okay.
Built like a brick shit house.
He had 21 touches, 1 goal, 1. He was starting in some center bounces as well, which is cool to see for a debutant.
He played fully on ball.
You don't get many easier debuts than that one, but he found the footy, which is good to see for a young player. So keep an eye out for George Stevens.
Two goal assists as well, and he actually set up the entry that got Jeremy Cameron his 700th goal. So a tremendous debut for the big man.
Could have kicked nine, Jez. That could have been his Coleman on the weekend.
Yes. Let's see.
Yeah, well.
All right, so
how are we going to rank him?
I think we should go Jeffrey first.
Well, we have to give Jeffrey the three. We're all going to give him a vote. So I think he gets the three.
And then I think you said Keyes, right?
Jeffrey Keyes Stevens.
Yeah.
Why not?
Right. Jeffrey Keyes Stevens. I'll write that down.
All right.
Sounds good. Cookie, kick us off with a prediction for round 18.
My prediction is the Crows win by more than four goals on Saturday afternoon.
Over the Doggies.
I reckon the Crows have been prepping for this. They've had a few easy games, and they know this is a big one if they want to make top four.
Yeah.
If they win this, like, they are percentage, and
their
percentage is 140 almost.
That's ridiculous.
Like, that is. They're paying $2.31. Anyway, I'm not going to get into the other side of trouble last week.
Gamble responsibly.
Who told you off for getting into the odds?
No one told me off. Crows by four goals.
Oh, I love that. Janus.
What did we predict last week again?
Oh, I can't remember.
I don't remember.
It didn't happen, did it? It didn't happen.
Yeah. I don't think. Did someone predict Sydney? I think someone did.
I can't remember.
I don't remember. T-Dub, what do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, you go T-Dub.
Me?
In the next round of footy.
The Suns will win by a point on Friday night. 10-14-74 to 11-7-73.
Ooh.
In just a thriller. Just an absolute thriller. Tuke Miller's going to have 37-2. As well. Just to really get behind the coasters. Wants Gold Coast to play finals.
If Gold Coast win, Australia wins.
That's a
Janus.
Exactly right.
I'll tip Fremantle to right the wrongs of last week.
Here we go.
They now need to win these games because obviously their fate's not in their hands anymore. I reckon they know how bad the Sydney loss was. I reckon they'll bounce back, win by three goals against the Hawks.
Ooh, that's beautiful.
Alrighty, we had some tennis being played overnight. We had Thompson pull out of his
fourth round up.
16 match against Taylor Fritz.
Yes.
What was the injury exactly? Anyone know?
He had a sore back. I don't know if that was the reason he pulled out, though. I can't remember.
I didn't see anything. I didn't definitely know why, but unfortunate. But anyway, good run, Tomo. And we've got the Demon tonight in a blockbuster match against Novak. I think that'll be sometime tonight.
10:30 p.m. tonight.
10:30 p.m. So if you're watching at home, tune in. You'll probably be able to tell very early if Demon has a chance. That's what I would suggest.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Like,
I agree.
You don't
I
really
wonder
see
who
Demon
Sinner's
coming
burying
back
for.
Who is the winner? I don't know who the winner has to play. But anyway.
I don't know, but it's Sinner's quarter of the draw. So the semi will be Sinner.
Against Sinner. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So I know who Sinner's barracking for.
Speaking of barracking for Australians, the Aussie cricket team.
Yes.
Yep, they're 2-0 up against the West Indies in the Frank Worrell Trophy. I remember Cookie was unsure what Josh Worrell's name was. He called him Frank. That's obviously where he was thinking.
I don't think it was.
Yeah, you were. Yeah, you were. You called him Frank Worrell.
I swear his nickname's Frank. Anyway.
I don't think it is.
Well, they call, who was the cricketer? Daniel Worrell. They called him Frankie.
Oh, I remember him. He played for the Stars.
He played for just about everybody. But yeah, he played for the Stars.
Anyway, they did win, Jonas. Correct.
133 run win well. In Granada. Played pretty well. First innings, another batting collapse. Bo Webster pulling us out of the lurch again. He's done pretty well to sort of course correct some batting collapses. Bo Webster, the slug. And then second innings, Cameron Green gets a 50. Smith gets a 71. Head gets 59.
Middle order.
More batting. Middle
Alex
order.
Carey was man of the match as well, I think.
Yeah, he made a few.
Pretty sure.
And then, 10 wickets in the last day. Bang, bang, bang. So Aussies 2-0 up. I think that's the trophy sealed. Is it three test matches?
2-0 out of three, yeah. One more to go.
Yep. So I think that's in Jamaica as well. But we get the Frank Worrell trophy. Sensational.
We do.
Frankie.
Well, if we're talking about... I was going to say, we're talking about batting, bowling pitches in England, there's a lot of batting going on.
Yes.
Pick up, how are you seeing it?
I'm seeing baseball and Tendulkar ball. I'm just seeing a lot of runs.
Gil ball.
Shubman Gill, 269 in the first innings and then 161 in the second innings. The thing that amazes me is the test was over in, 4 days, 5 days? And the amount of runs that were scored was ridiculous. It was like 580, 400, 400, and then 300 and something. I don't know what England got bowled out for. But
and Australian side could only dream of those numbers.
It was just, like, India made something like 580 in like a day and a half. And then England made 400 in a day. And then India made 400 in like a day and a half. And then England have been got bowled out for 270. So just with a 6-wicket haul from Akash Deep, which is beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Akash.
That's what we like.
Akash.
England's first innings was remarkable. The wicketkeeper Jamie Smith made 184. Harry Brook made 158. And then there were two golden ducks and four regular ducks. There were six ducks in an innings of 407.
That's amazing.
That is remarkable.
That's amazing.
Only.
Wow.
That is just phenomenal. And Chris Wokes only made five. So basically, four blokes made 400. It's incredible. But yes, Shubman Gill, just simply unbelievable. Just.
What a way to assert your captaincy.
430 runs in a test match from an individual is remarkable. It's just exquisite.
Oh, yes.
To be fair,
I can't remember anyone in Australia scoring that many runs in a test match. An Australian test.
Davey Warner made like a...
Like that was all. That's what I was thinking.
South Africa,
Brandon, whatever.
30.
South Africa.
I don't think we batted again.
I think maybe in that we played South Africa in 12 and 13. There were a lot of runs in that series. Yeah, Clark made a lot of runs in that series. He might have made a double in us. He might have made a double in Brisbane. I think. Yeah, he made a double in Brisbane and Adelaide. I'll get it up now. That was, I can't think of any other.
Clark made 300 against someone, didn't he?
India in 2012.
Yeah, that's right.
In 2012, Michael Clark had four scores of 200 or more. I'm just getting
the focus now shifts on the Ashes. It'd be interesting. Very interesting to see what happens. England, I was listening to the radio today. England still don't really have like a good spinner.
Yeah.
So it's interesting if they'll actually bring a full-time spinner into the team or they'll just run with part-timers.
Yeah. Don't know. They need a spinner will be interesting. For here. Because of the heat.
Because I think, who was this? Back? I can't remember what the spinner's name was, but he didn't take many wickets in that series that just went, in the test that just went for England.
Moeen.
No, it wasn't Moeen. No, someone else.
Moeen Ali's been retired for ages.
For someone else.
I can't think.
Whatever his name was. But anyway, we shall see.
We shall see. Shoaib Bashir.
Yes, Shoaib.
He took 5 for in 2 innings. It's not terrible.
No, it's not terrible. Not terrible at all. Now, I'll tell you what's not terrible. We're going to shift the topic a little bit here.
Yes.
I saw on my social media the other day of an unbelievable performance, and it's not where you're going to think it's coming from. It's coming from the women's NBL 1 East competition.
Yes.
Aubrey Wodonga versus the Illawarra. I don't know if it's the Hawks or whatever. No, it wouldn't be. Anyway, Ruby Lupfa.
What a name.
Shot 16 three-pointers.
That's
out of 22 attempts, which, if you're not familiar with basketball, is like someone kicking like 20 goals in an AFL game, pretty much. Like, it is unbelievable. The most ever scored in an NBA game is 14 by Klay Thompson. And I watched the highlights of this lady score these three-pointers. This is unbelievable. Like, just could not miss. Scored a total of 55 points.
That's actually huge.
Just crazy. So, on that topic, we thought we would go through some of the most efficient performances that we have seen throughout our time watching sport. The one that stands out for me personally is, I'll take you back to 2021 NBA Finals when Giannis Antetokounmpo could not shoot free throws. Pretty much for his whole career, he can't shoot free throws. But the one game where he needed to shoot him, he shot 17 of 19 from the free throw line. I think it helped that the Bucks crowd wasn't clapping to 10 every time he walked to the line and he could have complete silence. But that was memorable because it shut up so many people talking that he couldn't shoot free throws. And it was unbelievable.
Well, he still can't. For me. He still can't.
He's worse.
I've got honorable mention, the Miami Dolphins of 1972, 17-0, just pure efficiency. Just the only perfect season in NFL history. I've got the Colorado Avalanche have made 3 Stanley Cup finals and have won all of them. So that's just efficiency when it matters most. But I've got John Isner. In his career, had a first serve percentage of 70.4%.
Beast.
Which is remarkable for a bloke that serves it at 210 kilometers an hour. That is just, that's phenomenal efficiency. Now, that probably doesn't mean anything, but for reference, Federer only served at 62%. Oh, I say only. 62%, Novak 65, Rafa 69. So, bit of efficiency from the big, flat-serving American.
And he's played a lot of tennis as well.
He has. That's impressive for the amount of matches he's played. He's played for a long time, especially when he beat Mahou 70-68 in the 5th set on court 18 in 2010. 11 hours and so something that took across 3 days.
Nicholas.
Yes. He only just retired from doubles, I think. Nicholas
Mahou.
Yeah, Mahou. He only just retired. Mahou. Oh, no, he's playing in Wimbledon now. He lost. He's still going. He's 43 and he's still playing.
In the doubles or the singles?
Yeah, in the doubles, in the doubles.
In the doubles.
That's remarkable. Shout out to my French boy, Nicholas Mahou. That's unbelievable. Janus, what have you got for us?
I am going to go with a player from a club I love dearly, my beloved Hammers.
Oh, yes.
Mark Noble. Now, he had over 500 appearances for West Ham. Boyhood Hammer, supported the club, went to the academy, rose to the ranks, became a captain. He had a very impressive penalty conversion rate. In his time at West Ham, he scored. He took 43 penalties. He scored 38 of them. He only missed five.
That's phenomenal.
And that meant that he finished his career with a penalty conversion rate of over 90%.
Dang. That is high.
He was our top penalty taker. We could always rely on him. I mean, to only miss five pens in his entire career, 500 games.
Of the five, were any of them like be remembered for that? So obviously Harry Kane kicking it over the bar, like Harry Kane could miss five penalties in his career, but he will be remembered for that. Like, did he have any bad misses?
That I can recall, but nothing that stands out. No.
Oh, that's
great. He's got to be way more remembered. Well, West Ham haven't really been in anything big enough to be sort of remembered for stuff like that. Yeah. We're a bit under the
the Bucks spotlight. Mickey Mouse ring in 21.
Well, at least they. Oh, well, I suppose we have a European Championship. So
yes,
that's okay.
And you didn't sack your coach after that, as opposed to Tottenham.
No, well. Well, we sacked him the year after. We sacked him the year after. We won that in 2023. We sacked Big Moyes in 2024, which, to be honest, was looking like a bad decision. Because now he absolutely course corrected. Got us 3 years of European football. Had our best like Premier League finishes ever in 2023. We finished 2023 fifth. It was great. We went Christmas, the December period. We were unbeaten, 3 clean sheets in a row. We beat Arsenal away. We beat United. It was unbelievable. And then 2024 happens, and we concede 74 goals in 2024 alone.
Bang.
Jeez.
Just quickly. Has anyone seen on Instagram that bloke who won't shave his hair until United win 5 games in a row?
Oh, yep. Yeah.
He's gotten quite the afro now. Yeah,
It's
unbelievable. I was having a look today and he did like a video where he shampooed it. My God, it's long.
I saw a video where like he didn't, he let it dry out naturally. It took him like 3 hours for it to like dry. And that's with him going into the sun, you know, letting it dry out.
That is commitment. What if you did that, Tim? Grow your hair out until Khan win 5 games in a row.
I would have longer hair than Albus Dumbledore. I was going to say any of my sporting teams, but a couple of weeks ago, my drought was broken.
Really?
The Abbotsford Canucks won the 2025 AHL Calder Cup in Game 6.
Oh, that's pretty big.
That's like the
VFL. Like the VFL equivalent. Like the G League.
Oh, you'll take it.
I will take it.
That's something.
All I'll say is this, lads. The championship banner is in the mail. It's coming from Canada directly. Yes, sir. It is in the mail.
Very nice. Where's it going to be displayed? Sure, you put it on the set behind you.
I've got to find a spot
for it. It's got to go there on the other side. It's got to go there.
It's just, I tell you what, I can't remember what we won game 6. I think we won 3-2.
I thought you were looking jubilant. I wasn't sure what it was about.
It was like 2 weeks ago.
That's why we've got the hockey jumper on.
Let me rant. Game 5, at home, 3-1 up, as in like 3-1 up in the series. Now keep in mind the format for Calder Cup is 2-3-2. So it's 2 to the top, 3 to the lower, 2 to the top again. So we goes to overtime and we basically own gold in overtime to take it to 3-2. But then we were down 2-0 in the first period of game 6. And I thought, oh my goodness, here we go. And then we scored 3 goals and won and hung on and won 3-2. Just on efficiency, I've got one from the World Game as well. Burnley, 12 consecutive clean sheets in the season just gone.
Yep.
I know we spoke about that a couple of pods ago, but 12 games without conceding a goal, which is the second all-time in English football behind Manchester United, which had 14. I don't know what year, but had 14. So there you go. I can provide some soccer knowledge, courtesy of Janus providing me with a phenomenal footballing education.
Here's a question. I just want you. Here's a question. Burnley's manager is Scott Parker. What legend? Which club is he a legend of?
Scott Parker. I don't know. All I know is JJ Watt, no Dude boy. Perfect, own Burnley.
He's a West Ham legend, Scott Parker.
I should have guessed that. That's poor from me.
Yep. A West Ham legend. Now, speaking of West Ham, I just want to express my immense frustration at Mohamed Kudus. I'm annoyed. I'm so annoyed. Reports have just come out by Fabrizio Romano that Kudus wants out. But he wanted out. He has been so mentally checked out of the club since November. We had the opportunity to get rid of him to go to Saudi Arabia and get $80 million for him. He said, no, I don't want to go to Saudi Arabia. He wants to go to Tottenham instead, and they've offered us $50 million for him. That is absolute robbery.
It's a smart man.
It is arrogant. We are going to get robbed because he is absolutely going to tear it up for Tottenham. I'm absolutely fuming. We could have gotten $80 million for him. We got 90 million.
Don't worry about it, Jonas.
Now we're going to have to settle. We're going to have to settle for 50 million to Tottenham. Kudus, come on, man. We can't be that bad. You want to go to Tottenham.
Well, Jonas, we had some other soccer news. What happened in the World Game?
Moving on from that, some really tragic news has come out of England. Diogo Jota has tragically passed away. He was recently married, had three kids. He came to England in 2017. He came to England with the Wolves. He brought them promotion, brought them European football. He went to Liverpool in 2020, scored 65 goals for him, two League Cups, an FA Cup, Premier League most recently, and most recently won the Nations League with Portugal. But unfortunately, he and his brother, Andre Silva, have passed away. Really, really sad news. He was such an energetic, vivacious forward who gave Liverpool fans a lot of joy and brought a lot of heartbreak to opposition supporters. But it just shows that life is really precious and it can be taken away almost instantly. So never take those around you for granted.
I did see Liverpool are retiring his jersey, which is something it's not usually done in football, I'm pretty like, right?
Not really, because obviously football numbers are positional, but like you'll never retire like a number 9 shirt or a number 1 shirt, but 20 is a number that you obviously you can retire, and Liverpool are paying his family the rest of his contract. So they're supporting, I think it was a 2-year contract.
So yeah, it was paying, like 20 million years.
Yeah, they're paying that out to his family in increments. So obviously Liverpool's anthem is "You will never walk alone," and they're ensuring that the family of Diogo Jota will never walk alone.
Well said, Janice.
Yes.
Well said.
Well said indeed.
So what have we got coming up here? We've got another test. We've got the Wimbledon. Next time we have a pod, we'll have the Wimbledon final decided or about to be decided.
Yeah, I think we'll have the female champion.
We'll have the female champion. The male champion will probably be that night of.
Yep.
I hope it's Sinner versus Alcaraz. Honestly, I want that again.
That'd be good.
Great. That'd be unbelievable. Man. I just want to see it again.
If it's anything like how they play in the Roland Garros, it'll be absolute spectacle.
Yeah.
It'll be beautiful.
I want to see how Sinner responds. I think we all want it.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, of course.
Yes.
Anyway, we will, I think, leave you there, everybody.
Yes, we will.
Thank you very much for listening to. Hopefully, I don't sound too bad. Temporary.
If anything, you sounded clearer.
You look beautiful. You look just phenomenal. Yeah,
I need to fix the mic, the camera problem. But anyway, thank you, everybody, for. Oh, Janus, by the way, if you want to learn more about Mark Noble, what Janus was mentioning earlier.
Check out
the article he's written on West Ham. Mark Noble gets a great feature.
Oh, it's phenomenal.
It's a great feature in the third edition of Janus's Journal covering the greatest Hammers to play in the Premier League era.
If you love
it, give it a read. If you love just sports history, you know.
We did a bit of coding the other day, Janus.
Oh, yeah, we did. Yeah.
We found a friend from Millionaire Hot Seat. Some HTML code in the website. It was beautiful. We're figuring out some things.
We've changed our names to Neo and Trinity. We've hacked the Matrix, gone right into the mainframe, you know. So the website's up and running, and it's a beautiful, beautiful site.
If you love lexography, you'll love Janus's journal. Yeah. Just words. It's just a phenomenal insight. He's done a great job, the great man.
We got another one coming up soon. Stay tuned.
Anyway, have a big final quarter, everyone.